Greetings. I hope you are enjoying a day satisfied with the goodness of the Lord to you and your family. Here on God Is, we're in the middle of the first chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ at verse 13, and herein we find John's description of the Son of Man. Yesterday, we identified the Son of Man as Jesus Christ, and today we want to begin our walk down through the intricacies of who the Bible says Jesus is. So let me get a few verses on your mind now as I read from Revelation 1. I'll just read two verses today, 12 and 13. This is Revelation 1, verses 12 and 13. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. So here is Jesus, the Son of Man, and he's in the middle of the lampstands. And the lampstands, as we have learned, represent Christ's church, the complete church for all time. And then John says, the risen and glorified Jesus is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet. What's the meaning of this? We might be tempted to think that the robe speaks of Christ's royalty. He is king. That's a fair idea. Or perhaps we think of the robe that the Old Testament prophets wore, and Jesus is the greatest of all the prophets. So again, this is an acceptable insight into what it means that Jesus wears this robe reaching to the feet. But what this actually speaks to us about is that Jesus is our great high priest. This is his priestly robe. In order to understand the high priestly role of Christ, you need to first know some Old Testament. Now, you may already know this. God Is has listeners who know the Bible well. But at the same time, we have listeners who do not understand the text as well as you might. So what I want to do now is use some time to give you a quick and hopefully easy to understand lesson on the role of the high priest in ancient Israel according to the commandment of God for him. Then I will translate that into why Jesus is our high priest before I conclude with making the link between Jesus the high priest and this robe and golden sash that he wears in John's vision. Okay? Are you with me? I hope so. Let's reach now back into the Bible's Old Testament for a little while. I want to talk first about the character of the high priest and then of his most important duty. He had many duties, but we only have time to talk about his paramount task. Regarding the character of the man, always a man, he had to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, physically. That is, he could have no bodily physical defects. And he had to be made holy, H-O-L-Y, so that he would serve God by pure conduct. Listen to Leviticus 21, verse 6. They shall be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God, for they present the offerings by fire to the Lord, the food of their God, so they shall be holy. Now, of course, the high priest himself was a sinner. He was never perfect, never sinless. So what he had to do was to make a sin offering to God for his own sins. Listen again to Leviticus, this time chapter 4. Let me just take one verse to keep us going. Verse 3. This is Leviticus 4, verse 3. If the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord a bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. That's Leviticus chapter 4, verse 3. Once the proper offering was made and God accepted it, the high priest's sins were covered over and he could resume his service to holy God. So that gives you some insight into the high priest's character and how he had to deal with his own sin. Now let's look at his most important responsibility, and that is to conduct the service to the Lord on the Day of Atonement in the Tabernacle of God. This is the one time every year on a specific day that only the high priest was allowed to enter the most holy place beyond the veil, where God had designated him to go in order to make atonement for the sins of the people. What the high priest brings with him was the blood from the sacrifice of the unblemished animal that he would then sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, God's throne, the Bible calls it, in the Holy of Holies. When this was done according to the strict and detailed commands of God, the sins of both the high priest and the people of God were forgiven. The sins were atoned for. Let me prove this to you from the Bible, which is always very important to me. I want you to see this for yourself in the text. This is Leviticus chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also, in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. For your reference, that was Leviticus chapter 16 and verses 14 through 15. And I understand that on a Friday, at the end of a busy work week, this can be almost too much for you. To make this more complex, you might be driving, navigating the California freeways, or zipping along 93, or stuck in traffic on Route 128 in Massachusetts, likely does not maximize your attention span right now. I get that, but I want you to hang in there with me because now I'm going to translate what I have just read and told you about from the Old Testament into why Jesus is our high priest. Are you ready for this? All right, I ask for just a few more minutes of your mental capacity as we pursue the weekend. First, if you really want to understand what I'm about to say, read Hebrews chapters 9 and 10 this weekend. That is Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, near the end of the New Testament. Second, Jesus is our high priest because he offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins, and he did so once and for all. There is no longer a need for a high priest after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he has atoned for all sin, for all time, forever. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9 and a portion of verse 26. Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As the Old Testament high priest atoned for sin with the sacrifice of the unblemished animal's blood, so too Christ atoned for sin with the sacrifice of his perfect, unblemished life, his blood shed on the cross for our sins. Hebrews 9:26, Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Third, as the high priest entered God's presence in the most holy place in the tabernacle, so Jesus Christ entered God's presence on our behalf. He went where we could not go. Listen again to the book of Hebrews, this time chapter 9 and verse 12. This is Hebrews 9:12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. Jesus entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus obtained the eternal redemption. He paid in full the ransom for our sin, for those of us who believe in him with our faith, not with our good works, but with our faith alone in Christ. And so he is our great high priest. Jesus mediates for us before God. Listen to one more scripture on this point. I'm reading now over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy. It's magnificent. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. So Jesus goes before his Father God on our behalf. He mediates. He is the high priest. Do you have faith in Christ today? Then he is your high priest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, right? Join with me in giving thanks to Jesus for what he has done for us as our high priest. And I hope you see this connection. That is why in Revelation 1 and verse 13, John sees Jesus wearing a robe reaching to the feet. This is his priestly robe. And then there is even further proof this is Christ's priestly robe, because verse 13 of Revelation 1 continues, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. Well, guess what? Yes, the high priest wore a sash. Hear now the word of God in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 4 in reference to the priest. He shall put on his holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarment shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash, and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments. Again, for your reference, that was Leviticus 16:4. And I encourage you to read all of the text from which I am reading today. Well, as I so often say, we cannot understand the revelation until we have first read and understood the other books of the Bible that precede it. I'm telling you, you cannot effectively understand the revelation until you understand the rest of the Word of God. No wonder God, in his wisdom, ordered the Bible a certain way. Leviticus, the third book, has much to say that informs us in the Revelation, the 66th book. And we have seen that today, haven't we? What does Jesus look like? He stands amidst the lampstands, the churches, and he is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. That is what he is wearing in part. And when you return on Monday, we'll continue on in this vision of our Lord. We'll learn about his head and his hair, his eyes and his feet. We will learn about what his voice sounds like, what Jesus is holding in his hand, what comes out of his mouth, and what his face, the glorious face of our Master, looks like. All of that is still ahead of us, and I personally cannot wait to dive into that with you. Yes, you, right there by your radio, computer, or phone, however you listen, and wherever in the world you listen. I do not want to begin to guess how what I have shared with you today will be applied to your life by the Spirit of God, but I have the assurance of the Lord that it will be. Somehow the Holy Spirit will use this teaching for His glory. What's been shared here in these moments together will not return void. This is what I'm praying for: God, by His Word, to transform you, God, to transform me and us together. So let's all be back together on Monday, for God is.